News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Francis Fitzgerald, advisor to the G7, former Thánaigh, the former Minister for Justice, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have seen and give some analysis on some of those that you may have seen. Prime amongst the latter category is Jim Glennon, Francis, who has come out as the TD, the former TD, who provided a character reference for a sex offender. And there was an awful lot of discussion about who was the person in question. Over the weekend, Jim Glennon declared that it was he, and he put out a detailed apology. He said, "I confirm that I am the former TD who submitted a character reference for the convicted Daniel Ramamurthy, as referred to by the judge. The crimes committed by Mr. Ramamurthy were vile and of the most egregious nature. I offer my unreserved apology to the victim and to their family. Writing the letter was an error of judgment. I recognise that my actions may have added to the pain and distress already caused by the horrific abuse they endured, and I am deeply sorry for contributing to their suffering. I failed to give proper weight to the gravity of the crimes, to the trauma experienced by the victims and their family, and the courage it takes to report such abuse. I was extremely naive and I was wrong. I will be writing to the family of the victim through the court service to express my sincere apologies directly. I will also be resigning from any and all employment, consultancies and directorships that I currently hold." As apologies go, it's fairly full.
It's an absolutely fulsome apology, you would have to say. I mean, the media have been following this ever since the judge, in fact, and the Court of Appeal referenced the fact that a TD had given a reference, but he didn't name him. But the media have been onto this for about a week. And finally, Jim has come out with this very detailed statement. But it raises the whole question of character references in criminal courts. Should they be given at all? And there is a new regulation law that says now, if you're going to give a character reference, come in before the court and give the details of why you're giving it. And, you know, be open and transparent about it. This was something that kind of happened behind the scenes and was really, should never, it never thought, people who wrote these character references really never thought about victims' rights. But it also reflected the broader issue that we weren't that sensitive to victims' rights. We were looking more at the offender, and we're getting more of a balance now than we ever had
and
before.
Should TDs or even former TDs be allowed to, impinge on individual civil rights, but should they be discouraged from doing this at all? Because the mere fact that something arrives in with a known name attached to it, with TD written after it on a Oireachtas paper, if that's the case, all of that adds weight to the reference.
Absolutely. And I really think there's very little place for it. It would have to be extraordinarily exceptional circumstances. And I do see someone calling in the newspapers today that political parties, you know, should have something to say about this in terms of being careful about giving references. But I actually think it has changed. I think this was a traditional attitude that you gave these kind of character references. I don't think I've ever given one, but it was sort of, it was a bit of an old boys network type of thing. Oh, I knew X, you know, he's a grand fellow, not looking at the offence at all. So there's very little place
for
them.
It does raise the question of, well, so what? I mean, how does that pertain to the actual victim of this crime and what
and judges are increasingly sensitive to that as well. I think what you're seeing here as well is court practice in terms of looking at these references changing and not just taking them for granted and taking them into account. The judges are actually, which is great to see, raising the question of whether they're appropriate at all.
Final thing on it, though, whatever about the nature of the apology, Jim Glennon, apart from having been around the world for some time and having been in politics for some time, he was previously the chairman of a public relations company. What was going through his head?
Well, it reflects this not thinking about the victim, I think. And he says that in his statement. And as you say, he goes into a lot of detail and says, I'm not continuing any of the employment consultancies or directorships that I currently hold. So very fulsome, clearly on reflection, sees that he has made a serious mistake.
Now, other news from north of the border over the weekend. The PSNI warning, murderous intent and capability. This after the Dunmurry car bombing has been blamed on the new IRA. There are shades of this hearkening back to an era that I think we all thought was behind us.
Absolutely horrendous. Two babies being evacuated. The actual car saw it on the news last night, right beside a row of housing outside the police station. A man hijacked in his own van and a gas cylinder put into it, driven to the front of the police station and went off. Extraordinary. The police, no warning. They did manage to evacuate families, but were in the process of taking people out. And this follows another event in Lurgan just a month ago. The so-called new IRA, a dissident group, still believing that violence is the way forward. Very, almost no support in Northern Ireland, condemned by both Michelle O'Neill and Gavin Robinson, DUP leader and the First Minister. Absolutely, as you say, a throwback and dreadful to see.
But isn't it interesting, though, the way that it gets reaction? I mean, we're talking ad infinitum about the rise of political violence in the US and the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. But you have a car bombing in Ireland over the weekend, and maybe I'm doing a disservice to the national reaction, but there's a sort of a sense of, well, you know, that's the pattern.
Not from the PSNI, not from the security forces. They are taking this incredibly seriously, as they have to. But you're right, I guess somehow there is a kind of looking at it and say, oh my God, it is a throwback, but
like it's almost as if this was foreign terrorism. Yes. You know, if this was imported terrorism, you would expect that there would be absolute consternation of it. But yes, there is a sort of a sense of,
if
we're
it happened
used
in
to
Dublin,
exactly,
I think the reaction would be quite different amongst many people. But the trauma for the mail delivery driver, the trauma for the police, no warning. I mean, it is, the potential to cost lives was enormous here.
And the mandate from whom? Who is it that's supporting this?
No mandate, no support.
Let's go to something more positive to finish up then in that context. The critical news of the weekend is that scientists have investigated and have confirmed that teaspoons do go disappearing, but they don't know why.
It was the 1st of April, I would think this was an April Fool's joke. This is about Edinburgh University academics decided they had to answer the question, where have all the blooming teaspoons gone?
Isn't this great that academics have the funding to do this, Francis?
I know. I thought it was only socks that went missing, but actually it's teaspoons. So they did a little study in their own room, in their own coffee area. 48 teaspoons bought, half of them coloured gold, half silver. Two-thirds of them disappeared. Now, the sad news is that they decided, surprise, surprise, people indeed steal teaspoons from the common room. Where they have gone remains a mystery. They have no other explanation.
Why it is specifically the teaspoon?
I have no idea. Have you, Anton? No idea whatsoever, but they did disappear.
Francis Fitzgerald, thank you very much. 53106, if you have any thoughts on why it is only teaspoons that do the disappearing, or 087 1400106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Hi, I'm Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost. April is Alcohol Responsibility Month. Underage drinking and underage cannabis use can interfere with how kids' brains grow, and it negatively affects their emotional well-being. And now is a great time to talk with your kids about making healthy choices and saying no to harmful behaviors like underage drinking. Modeling responsible ways to cope with stress are important. For resources, visit AskListenLearn.org.